The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is, actually we have two Matzon Masay. We'd like to dwell on a particular part of the parsha of Parshas Matos, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe to say, Nikol Nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esa mijonim. Go and take revenge for the revenge of Yisrael from the nation of Midjon. This is speaking at the end of the 40 years. And after that, then you will be gathered up to your nations. It would be time for Moshe to take leave from this world, as then Klal Yisrael would go into Eretz Yisrael. Vaydaber Moshe la'om le'mar, heicholtzu me'itchem anoshim la'tzova. So Moshe said to the nation, bring up people. We had a conscription for an army. In order to revenge the avenge of Hashem against Midjan. Thousand from every shevet, from every tribe, should come to join the special army that would do this. Now, what is the background of all of this? This will have to go back a bit to the beginning of Parshas Bullock, which is a few parishes back. There it states, "Vayar Bullock ben Sipor es kol asher osi Yisrael le'amori." Bolok, who, as the Psukim will tell us just now, was the king of Moab, he saw all that Israel did against the nation of Amori. Amori was a neighboring nation of his. And there, as Moshe and the people were coming through, heading towards Eretz Yisrael, not only would Amori, and also there was Boshon, would not let them cross their lands, but they came out against them to fight. So there was a war, and Moshe defeated them. He defeated Og, Melech HaBoshon, and Sihon, Melech HaMori, and took all of the nations, took their people, took the spoils. So Balak saw this, Vayogor Moab mimnei Omi Od Kirafu, Vayokotz Moab mimnei Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, this nation was very afraid, because they felt we're next. They're going to come and take everything we own. So Moab went to the elders of Midjan. This nation of Israel, they are consuming everything in their path, like a ox consumes everything in its path as it eats, grazes, and that's what we're afraid they're going to do to us. And Balak was the king of Moab at that time. So what did he do? He decided, there's a background to this, he decided to send to Midjan. That was another nation, not far. And there, he said, go to Bilam, a person by the name of Bilam. Now, why did he want Bilam? Because Bilam was a Novi, he was a prophet, and he also had the power of blessing and curse. And he said that Moshe had grown up in Midjan. Moshe fled Egypt. He went to Midjan, and that's where he met Yisro, married Yisro's daughter. So he said, let's go to the Midjanites. They will have to deal with him. So they sent to Bilaam, and Bilaam should come and curse this nation, so we will be victorious over them. And then the Torah tells us in Parshas Balak all the attempts that Bilaam was making to curse the nation, but he was unsuccessful. In Perichov Dalet, Pasuk Yud, it states, Vayichar av Balak el Bilaam, Vayispek es kapov. Balak became angry at Bilaam, because everything that Bilaam was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was turning his words into brachas. So Balak became angry at Bilaam, and he clapped his hands in anger. Vayomer Balak el Bilaam lakov, Eivai kirasicha v'nei barachta v'reich zeh shlosh pamim. I hired you to curse this nation, and this is the third time now that you've blessed this nation. V'ato barach lecho el mekenecho. Amati kabeid acha betcho, v'hinei meno acha Hashem ikovot. Go back to your place. You're useless to me. I wanted to give you great honor and great wealth for all of this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing this. Vayomer Bilaam el Balak. So Bilaam said, Gam alochecho asher sholachta elai dibarti lemor. When you sent me your messengers, I told them that. I told them that even if you'll give me all of the wealth in the world and whatnot, I will not be able to do more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, allows me to do. But, he said, but I'll do something else for you. I won't be able to curse this nation, but I'll do something else. I'm going to return to my nation. Now, the simple meaning of this pasuk is I will now advise you, I will now prophesize to you what this nation will do to your nation in the end of days. But that's not the real meaning. Rashi brings from the Gemara that the real meaning is I'll tell you what, I cannot curse them, but I'll advise you how you can overpower them. Let me give you an etza, asher yaseh omazeh, what you should do to this nation. Now, what was the etza that he gave? Ehem shel elu seine zimohu. Rashi brings this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Vav. And the etza, the advice was, is lead them astray. Tempt them to transgress the Almighty's mitzvahs, and let them go astray, and then you will be able to destroy them. What does the Gemara say? Gemara says as follows. Eleim shel elu sein zimuhu. Their God hates acts of immorality and promiscuity, and certainly Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Mehem misavim lichli pishton. He says, and these people love linens and flax. They love linen garments, and perhaps linen tablecloths and other such thing. Bo vasiacha etzo. So I'll give you some good advice. Aselehem kloim. Have your people make tents that are used in the marketplaces. Veheishi behen zenis. And take your daughters and let them become prostitutes. Zekena bibachutz v'yalda bimifnim. Take an old lady and let her sit outside of the tent, but then have a young girl inside of the tent. Bimkru lehen klipishton, and fill the tents with linens and make a shop from it. It'll be a marketplace. So also lehen kloy mehashel agad besa yishimais. They went and they made hundreds of such tents all along the border. Veheshiv ben zeinis, and they sent their daughters to become prostitutes. Zekena bibachutz v'yalda mibifnim, an old lady outside and a young girl inside. Ubishoshi Yisrael eichlin v'sheisin usmeichin. And when Yisrael would, they were camping nearby because they were traveling, So they were stationed there. So they would eat and drink, and when they were in a good mood, Yetzin Latayel Bishuk, they would go and look through these marketplaces. Emeres Leaskena. So the old lady outside would say, Yata Mavakish Klipishtan. Do you want to buy some linens? Zakena Emeres Le Bishova. The old lady would give them a fair price, fair value. But the young girl inside the tent, she would say, come here and I will give you a better price. And they did this two or three times. So they became accustomed that when they would go by these tents to buy these linens, they would go inside to buy from the young girl because they would get a much better bargain there. Then after they did this two, three, four times, so they became very familiar with the young girls. So then they would say, Hare at keben baish, shave, brole atzmecho. So the young girls would invite them in and say, look, you're an old customer. Look through the tent, choose whatever you want. Sit down. And then, tzotzere shel yain emoni munach etzlo, veidain le'nesi yain shel nochrim. They would have a bottle of wine of Ammon, and the wine of Ammon was a very, very strong wine. So they would have a bottle sitting on the table in the tent, and the Gemara says that we're not allowed to drink wine of Goyim, but that was a decree that was made later. This was before. Omra leir etzeincho shetishtei keishel yain. They would say, maybe you're thirsty, would you like a glass of wine? So they would take a glass of wine, kivan shesosa borabai, and then after they would have a few drinks, so they would try to seduce them. And then omale ashmimi, I'd say, you're also mitei cheko. And as they were seducing them, they would take an idol out. And they would say, aved lese, serve this idol. This was Pa'or, this was their god. So that would say, Hala Yehudi ani, I'm a Yehudi, I can't do that. They would get it through. And what they did this with many, many. They had hundreds and hundreds of tents. This was a process over a long time. And what they did is that they seduced the Bnei Yisrael, both into acts of immorality and Aved Zor, idolatry. So this was the plan which Bilam gave over to Balak. He says, look, I can't curse them because Baruch, they're blessed. The Kodesh Baruch Hu won't allow me to curse them. But I'll give you an etzah how to conquer them. What you should do to this nation. So he gave him this etzah. And this is what they did. So now, at the end of Parshas Balak, in Perechofei Aleph, it states, "Vayeshiv Yisrael b'ashitim, b'yochel la'om lizneis al b'neis Moab." The children of Israel dwelled in Shittim. That was a place in this area. And while they were dwelling there, they started to, with acts of promiscuity with the daughters of Moab. But tikrena la'om lezivche aleihem, and then these girls called the nation to sacrifice to their gods. Ba'yochal la'om yishtachem aleihem, and what was happening ultimately, as the nation started to go over to them and bow to their gods, and to eat and bow to their gods. Vayitzomid Yisrael Baal Peor, and they worshipped Baal Peor. Vayichar Af Hashem Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he says, you must stop this immediately. So Moshe told Shefte Yisrael, Hirgu Isha Moshe Ban Itzmonim LeBaal Peor. go and take everyone that's bowing to Baal Peor and bring them up for judgment and kill them. There's a death penalty for Avodah Zarah. And then the Torah tells us the case of Pinchas. There was one man, and he was the Nasi, the prince of Shevet Shimon, and he took a Midianis, a daughter of Midian. So actually it was both Moab, it states Benos Moab, and it states Benos Midian. Then Moab sent in their daughters, and Midian sent in their daughters, both nations. He took a Midianis, and he took her out, Leine Maisha, Leine Koladas Ben Yisrael, and publicly he took her. And the Gemara brings, he brought her to Maisha, and he said, Zumuteris Asura. Is this woman permissible, or is she forbidden? Im Taimar Asura. And if you say she's forbidden, so Midyonis Mihi Tiraloch. So how did you marry a Midyonis? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Tzipora, was also from Midian, like we mentioned, from the daughter of Yisro. And then Moshe didn't know what to answer. And so he took her into a tent. And everyone knew what he was going to do. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, he went and he asked Moshe. He said, didn't you teach us that in such an instance you can go and kill them? For whatever reasons there were, we won't go into that now. So Moshe said, go fulfill it. So he took a spear, and he went into the tent, and he killed both of them. In the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought a magefa. He brought a plague. Besides those that the shaftim, the judges, were killing, he brought a plague. And so when Pinchas did this, the plague stopped. But meanwhile, 24,000 Jewish men died in the plague. So that's in Parshas Balak. Then in Parshas Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward Pinchas for this, because he turned back my wrath when he revenged for me. Otherwise I could have destroyed the whole nation. So therefore he gave him his reward, Brisei Shalom and Kunas Olam and so forth. Then the Torah tells us, Shem Ish Yisrael Amukah Asher Hukas HaMidyoni Zimri Ben Solu Nasi Beis Ov LaShimani, that the man that he killed was the prince of Shevet Shimon, Zimri Ben Solu, and the name of the woman that he killed, Amukah HaMidyoni, she was a Midianite, she was not Moabi, but Midianite, was Kozvi Basur, and she was a daughter of one of the kings, Reish Umas Beis Ov LaMidyonhu. And the Chazal say, see how far they were willing to go, where they even the king sent in his own daughter to achieve this task. So now we come to what we were learning now. Hashem said to Moshe, Tzror es ha-midyonim, v'ikisem ha-isom. You should go and make war with the Midyonim and destroy them. Because they led Klal Yisrael astray. They went and tripped them all up with the whole business of with their daughters and Peor, their Avodah Zarah, their idolatry. Now, but then in the middle of Parshas Pinchas, the Torah interrupts. And now in our Parshas, in Matthias, so we return to it. And that's what is brought here, which we started with. That before you die, I want you to go and take revenge against the Midyonim. How did Moshe do this? So he ordered from every Shevet, and it says even Shevet Levi, even though generally Shevet Levi didn't go to war, he ordered even from Shevet Levi 1,000 soldiers from each tribe. So there were 12,000. Shneim Osa Elef Chalutzei Tzavoa. Vayishlach Osa Moshe Elef Lamata LaTzavoa Osem Bes Pinchos Ben Olozer HaKohen LaTzavoa. And he sent them with Pinchas, the son of Elozer the Kohen, to go to war against Midian. Now, what did Pinchas do when he went to war against Midian? So they attacked Midian, Vayahargu Kol Socher, and he killed every male. Vesmalchei Midian Horgu Al Chalaleihem, and all the kings of Midian he killed. There were five kings, Chameshes Malchei Midian. Veis Bilam Ben Boor Horgu Bechorev, and they hunted out Bilam, and they killed him also with the sword. Vayishbu Bnei Yisrael Es Neshei Midian Ves Tapom, and they went and they took as captives all of the women of Midian and all of the children. Now it's explained later on that when they took all of the children captives, that included the male children. That it says that they killed all of the males, that were the adults. But all of the children they took as captives and all of the women. Ves Kol Behemton, Ves Kol Mignem, Ves Kol Chelam Bozozu. And they took all of their animals and all of their possessions. They took as spoils. Ve'es kol oreihem b'meishvosem ve'es kol tireisem sorfu ve'esh. They did a thorough job. They burnt and destroyed all of their cities. So there was nothing left of Midian except the captives and except the possessions. So they brought all of these possessions back, and they brought all of the captives back. And then it states in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayitzu Moshe v'Elozer HaKohen, Vayiktzev Moshe al Pigudei HaChol. When Moshe saw this, he was angry. He said, why? Achi Yisem Kol Nekevo. Why did you leave the women live? Moshe wasn't satisfied. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions evidently was to totally annihilate them. So why did you leave the women live? Especially and especially they were the ones involved in rebelling, getting Klal Yisrael to rebel against Hashem, and they caused the Magefa. And also the fact that you let the children live. So he instructed that every male should be put to death, even the male children. And on the women, he said, what comes out from the Chazal explained that every woman was put to death except those that were under 3 years old. Those that were under 3 years old were taken as captives, together with all of their possessions. So this is what they did. Now, there's a great deal that we can learn from this parsha through various observations. Firstly, the first question is Kodesh Baruch Hu explicitly said Sror or Nekam Nikmas from against Midian, commanded them to go up against Midian. What happened with Moab? Moab was the initiator. If you recall, it was Bolok, Melech Moab. He was the one who, when he heard Klal Yisrael is coming in his direction and they're consuming everything in their path, he became so frightened, he said, we have to do something. So he decided that we'll send to Midian and hire Bilam. So Moab was the whole initiator of all of this. Yet we find that nothing was done against Moab. It was all against Midian. And when it came to sending the daughters in, it's explicit that not only were the Midianite daughters sent in, but the Moabite daughters also were sent in. So why did Moab get off from this? And that Rashi brings two reasons. He brings two reasons here, and he mentions one of the reasons was mentioned the first time in Parshas Pinchas. He says, firstly, Moab had a little excuse, because they got involved because of Yira, because of fear. Self-defense. They were afraid that Klal Yisrael would come and take everything they own, so they wanted to defend themselves. And the only way they could defend themselves, they thought, was with Bilam, not with might, because there were stronger nations. There was Sihon Melech Emori and Og Melech Havoshon. They couldn't defend themselves. So they figured we'll have to do it with Bilam. So therefore, they got involved because of fear and self-defense. So we can excuse them a bit. But Bilam and Midjon, what Asik did they have? They weren't in the path of Klal Yisrael. They weren't threatened. They got involved because of Sina, because of hatred. And they were great anti-Semites. And they looked for this opportunity where they could hit Klal Yisrael. And that's why they got involved. And it's referred to, Rashi says, Nisarbu al Riv Leilahem. They got involved in a fight that wasn't theirs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to fight, we'll fight. That's why he said go after Midjan. Second reason that is brought is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to annihilate these nations, which he did. Midjan was annihilated. There was no Midjan left after this, because the men were all killed. The male children were all killed. The women were all killed. The little children, little girls, less than three, were taken as captives and slaves. All of the possessions were taken away, and their cities were burned to the ground. So there was no Midian left after this. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do to Moab also. But he said, I can't annihilate Moab. Now, because there's someone very precious in Moab, which will come from Moab in a few generations, and therefore I cannot annihilate them. And who was that? That was Rus, a Moabite. Actually, it was in the schools of Rus that Moab was saved. And from Rus is not just an individual. From Rus will come Malchus Yisrael, the whole kingship of Yisrael. Because the offspring of Rus will be David. And the offspring of David will be Shlomo. And the offspring of Shlomo will be the Melech HaMashiach. So how can I annihilate Moab? So B'shus said, through this merit, he said, don't touch Moab at this point. The Yalkut tells us, the Yalkut Shimoni tells us that actually Rus was not just Rus was not just an individual in the nation of Moab. In Aleph, Seif Simen Tov Reish. Rabbevi b'shem Reuven Omar. Rus for Orpah, Rus and her sister Orpah, those are the two that married the two sons of Naomi, of Elimelech and Naomi. Benais Eglon Hoyu, they were the daughters of the king of Moab. Eglon, I don't know, but good chance he was a descendant of Bolok, Bolok was the king of Moab at this point. But in a few generations later, Eglon was the king. And these were the daughters of Eglon. Deceived Varsesili Alecho Amelech Vayokum Mealakise. Now the Medrash here goes into how did. Now Eglon was not a tzaddik, not at all. The fact is, he gave a lot of tzoras in his time against Klal Yisrael. So how does it come that Rus, who had such a merit to save her whole nation and to build Malchus in Israel, comes from such a person as Eglon? You need a schusfus to have a child like that. So the Medrash says, it brings here from the Tanakh in Shoftim. Shoftim. Shoftim Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet. It states, "Vayabdu bnei Yisrael es Eglon Melech Moav Shmona Esri Shono." Vayizaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. The Klal Yisrael was subjugated to Moav for 18 years, to Eglon Melech Moav for 18 years, and he was very wicked, and very cruel to them. Vayizaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem. And they cry to Hashem, Vayokem Hashem lehem Mashiach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Mashiach. He gave them someone who would save them. As Ehud ben Gera, ben Ayimini, Ish Iter Yad Yeminai. Ehud, the son of Gera, who was from Binyamin. And as it happened to be, he was a left-hander, a lefty. Vayishluchu v'nei Yisrael, b'yodei mincha le'eglein melech Moav. And Yisrael sent an offering to Eglon, the king of Moab, maybe to pacify him. So he sent a delegation. Vayasle Ehud Cherev, Velo Shtefeus Gomed Orko. Meanwhile, Ehud was in the delegation, and he made for himself a small sword. He cut it off to make it very short and sharp on both sides. Vayako Esemitachs Lamada Val Yerech Yiminoi. And he concealed it on his right side. Everybody carries a sword on his left side because you take it with the right hand. He concealed it on his right side because he was left handed. And the delegation brought the offering to Eglon. And Eglon ish borimiot. Eglon was a very big man. And after they brought him the offering and he sent home the delegation, so everybody left, including Ehud. But then later on he came back, Ushob min Apsilim Asher al Gilgo. He returned. They went on the journey. He went a little ways out. Then he returned. And when the sentries said to him, what do you want? He said, I have something very, very special to tell the king. And when he came to the king, he told the king, Dvar Seseli Alech HaMelech. What I have to tell the king is top secret. Vayemar Hos. So the king said, silence. In other words, everyone must be out. He has to talk to me privately. He has top secrets to tell me. Vayetzum Olov, Kol Emdim Olov. So everybody that was there left. Vayehud Bo Elov. Ehud approached him, and he was sitting on his throne. Vayomer Ehud, Var Elekim Li Elecho. What I have to tell you is a word from the God, from Hashem. Vayoko Me'alakise. So Eglon said, "You have a message from God to me." And he stood up. Because Kodesh Baruch Hu talks to you, you must stand up. So he stood up from his throne. Vayishla Ehud es yad smola, vayikach es acherev me'al yerech yeminai, vayizko el bevitnai. And then Ehud assassinated him. And then there's the rest of the story. He locked up, he walked out, the whole story. You see everything that today that they write in the books and you see on television, it's all in the Nach, long before. It tells how he managed to slip through the guards and so on. But the Medrash says like this. It says, when he said that I have Dvar Elekim, I have Li Elecho, I have words of God to tell you, and Vayokam Me'alakise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very impressed that he stood up, even though he was a Rosha. So he said, Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato Marata Mikisacho, Bishvil Kvedi, Hareini Maimed Mimecho Ben Yeshiv Alkisi. Shinemar VeYeshiv Shloma Alkisi Hashem LaMelech. He says, because you stood up from your throne to give me covet, so I will give you covet from my throne. And your seed, your offspring, will sit on my throne. And it states in the Nach that Shlomo HaMelech, after he became king, it states Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem LeMelech. The throne of Shlomo HaMelech was the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does this mean? What it means as follows. He said that for when Eglon stood up, that was more than just a common person standing up, because everybody stands up for the king. So when Eglon stood up, he was giving from his malchus, his royalty, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to give you from my royalty and to your seed. And that's what he gave Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, it states, he sat on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo HaMelech was not a Melech Hedjut. He was not a king that was a king, a commoner. But he sat in the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because firstly, to be a Melech Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echad. Secondly, he was Melech HaKol Eilam Kula. He reigned over the entire world. And thirdly, it states that Shlomo HaMelech reigned not only B'Tachtenim, but B'Elyonim also. He was the king over all of the worlds, the lower worlds and the upper worlds. So he had the royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you gave me from your royalty, I have to give you from my royalty. Like we learned not long ago, that according to the midah that a person goes with, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him with. So I must give you from my royalty. So your seed will have my royalty. That's why it states, Vayeshev Shlomo HaMelech sat on my throne. And that was his seed, because his daughter was Rus, and Shlomo was a direct descendant of Rus. Now, then, the Medrash tells us also in the Yalkut that when Boaz saw Ruth for the first time, and he heard all she had done for her mother Naomi and so forth, he said, Yishalem Hashem pa'aleich usi maskoteich shlemo. Kodesh Baruch Hu should pay you for your deeds, and your reward should be shlemo, should be full. This is in the Sefer Ruth. So the Medrash says that it doesn't write Shlomo Mole with a Yud. It should write Shlomo with a Yud. Writes it without a Yud. So that could be read Shlomo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay you with a son by the name of Shlomo, a descendant. And that was referring to Boaz had seen in prophecy. Actually, the Targum brings it, that Boaz had seen in prophecy that from Ruth would come a descendant by the name of Shlomo who would become king. Then, the Medrash tells us something else. In Malachim, after Shlomo became the king, and Bathsheba went in to speak to them. This is Malachim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudches. And they went to speak to him, because Adino Yohu had a whole scheme, and he wanted to marry the Shunamis, the whole business. So he sent Bathsheba to go speak to Shlomo. Vatemi Bathsheba tov v'nechi adaber alech al ha-melech. So Bathsheba says, yes, I will go and speak to the king. Vatovi Bathsheba al melech Shlomo. So Bathsheba went to Shlomo, Ledabele al Adoni Yohu, to speak on what Adino Yohu had asked her. By Yokob HaMelech Likrosa, so the king got up to greet her, this was his mother, by Shtachulo, and he bowed to her. By Yeshev al Kisoi, and he sat on his throne. By Yosem Kisei Le'im al Melech, and he made a throne for the mother of the king. And she sat to his right. So the simple sense means that Shlomo sat down in his throne, and he set up a throne on the right side for his mother Bathsheba. The Medrash says no. It says Vayosim Kise Le'im HaMelech. That doesn't refer to Bathsheba. That refers to Ima Shel Malchus, the mother of all royalty in Israel, to Rus, Bateshev Liminoi, and she sat on the right. Because it's true, Bathsheba was the mother of Shlomo, but she was not the mother of Malchus. The mother of all Malchus in Israel was Rus. Because from Rus came the descendants David and Shlomo. So she sat on his right. Now, okay, this is good. But it's not so easy. Because Shlomo Melech was many generations after Rus. So the Yalka tells us that Ruth was given a reward that she was Layotzis Amin Olam. She didn't leave this world until she saw her descendant sit on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlomo HaMelech. She lived very, very long. This was the fourth generation. This was her great, great grandson. It wasn't her son, it wasn't her grandson, it wasn't her great grandson. It was a great, great grandson. Because Ovid was her son, and Yishai was her grandson, and David was her great-grandson, and Shlomo was her great-great-grandson, four generations later. So, it was Ruth. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have annihilated Midian and Moab, but it was Ruth that saved Moab. Then there's another reason. Another ksas, something that also helped Moav. And this the Maral brings in the Gurai. And that was Moav. Where did they come from? Moav was the descendant of Lot, from the union that Lot had with his daughters. And they were descendants of Avram Avinu. Lot was a nephew. Lot was Avram's brother's son. So they had the Schus Avraham. So also the schus of Abraham helped that they shouldn't be annihilated. And that's what it says in Sefer Devarim, Beis. It states in Pasuk Chesed Tes, it states, Vanefen Vanavor, Moshe is telling over to the people, Vanefen Vanavor, Derech Midbar Moav, when we would on our travels coming towards Eretz Yisrael, so we came to the desert of Moab, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Totzer, don't bother them, Al Tisko Bom Milchoma, don't make a war with them. Actually, the Gemara says, we weren't allowed to make a war, we could take spoils from them, but we weren't allowed to make a war with them. Ki le'etein le'mi artzecho Yerusha, not like Evar Yarden, Boshon Od Melech HaBoshon, or Sichon Melech HaMori, that you made war, or they made war with you, and you took their land, that was all right. But not this land, not the land of Moab, I will not give it to you for Yerusha, for inheritance. Ki livnei Lot nosati es o Yerusha. Because I have promised it to the children of Lot as a Yerusha. And the Gemara brings in Kedushin on Yud Ches, which we're learning just now, Mishum Kfeide de Avraham. See, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was he so particular that you shouldn't bother this land? What was so great about Lot? Mishum Kvedu Shel Avraham. I have to give a reward to Avraham. So there was another reason also. So there's actually three reasons. That one is that even though they played a major role, the same role in all of this as Midian, but they were nichnas ledover. They became involved because of Yira, because of their fright. They were frightened in their self-defense. Midian had nothing to lose, and still they jumped in. Riv lele, because they hated Klal Yisrael, and they wanted to see what they could do against them. Secondly, Ruth was going to come from the land of Moab. She was the daughter of the king Eglon. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I cannot annihilate them. From there would come Malchus Yisrael. She saved it. And thirdly, they had the schus of Avraham. That's why Avraham said, you are not allowed to take their land. But nevertheless, they weren't nitzlu b'lei klum. They weren't nifta b'lei klum. Nevertheless, they didn't get away scot-free, Moab. We find in Parshas Ki Tzeitze, Chof Gimel Dalet, there the Torah is telling us, Lo yovo Amoni u'Moavi b'kal Hashem, that Amon and Moab, these were the two nations that both came from Lot and his daughters, shall not come into the congregation of Hashem, even if they convert. They cannot marry into the central community of Hashem. Gam dor asiri lo yovo lehem b'kal Hashem ad olam, even after 10 generations, after they converted, forever, they can never marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. Al dvar asher lekidma eschem alechem mayim baderech betzeischem mimitzroim, v'asher socha alecha es bilum ben borim yiftor aram narayim lekal aleko. So the Torah gives two reasons here. One is because when you were passing through their land, they did not come out to meet you with provisions. They said, don't come through our land, we'll meet you with the sword. And secondly, they went and they hired Bilam, this is referring to Moav, he went and hired Bilam to curse you. But then it states Aldvar. Aldvar actually means by the word, and it shouldn't be there. So the Gemara Darshan's Rashi brings Aldvar comes to be Marbe, and because of the Eitzo, because of their Eitzo on how to trip you up, that they advise their daughters to go in and lead you astray. And then it states, V'le'ova Hashem, yeah, V'le'ova, okay, Le'sid v'shleimam v'tevosim kol yamecha le'olam. Do not seek peace with them or any goodness from them all of the days. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did pay them. He decreed we should never make a treaty with them. We should never be friends with them. And they can never come into the central community of Klal Yisrael. But annihilation, he wasn't able to because of the reasons we gave. Now it states, Vayishlach Osam, here by us, Moshe sent the soldiers, Ves Pinchas ben Elozar HaKoyin, with Pinchas the son of Elozar. Pinchas, the grandson, says he sent Pinchas ben Elozar. So on that Rashi brings two answers. One is, he says, because Pinchas was Hischil b'mitzvah, Shohar HaKos b'basur, Yigmor, Pinchas already started to take the Nekoma, because he killed the Midianite with the Nosi of Shimon. So since he already started to take the revenge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let him finish. Or Moshe had said, let him finish. That was one reason. The second reason, Rashi brings, is Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef on his mother's side. See, on his father's side, he was from Shevet Aaron, from Aaron and from Levi. But on his mother's side, he was a descendant of Yosef. And Yosef had an old bone of contention to deal with the Midianim. Because when the brothers captured Yosef and they sold him, it states there he was sold to the Midianim. Actually, he was sold to a few different states, Midianim and Yishmael and Medonim. But Midian was the one that bought him. So they bought him and they took him as a slave. Later on they resold him. So therefore, Pinchas was sent because he could revenge also this, what happened to his ancestor Yosef. Now the Gurai, though, says something deep here. He says this wasn't because he wanted to take simple revenge. because this was long forgotten by Pinchas. This was six generations later on. It was a long time, because Pinchas was the son of Elozer. Elozer was the son of Aaron. Aaron was the son of Amram. Amram was the son of Kohos. And Kohos was the son of Levi. And Levi was the contemporary of Yosef. So we're talking about six generations later on. And he says, then the Sinan would be long forgotten. And he says, well, it meant like this, that Pinchas was the man to do it. Why? He says, since we see that it happened, that Yosef was bought as a slave by Midian, and Megalgalin Chayv al Yedei Chayv. In other words, this means that Midian was a force which wanted to destroy Yosef. They took Yosef and they made a slave out of him. So this was a force that wanted to destroy Yosef. And this just didn't happen. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a job to do, if it's a good job, he gives it to a good person. If it's a bad job, he gives it to a bad person. This shows that Midian was a force which was contrary to Yosef. And he says, we see they were a force contrary to Yosef, because we see Midian was Potus Barais. They were immoral and promiscuity, like we see from here. They were willing to be mafkir, to let go their daughters and let them become prostitutes just to lead Klal Yisrael astray. Yosef was the head. Yosef was the contrary. Yosef was the one that was in Mitzrayim for so many years. And he was Yosef HaTzadik. He was the righteous one. He never turned to the right or to the left. And he wasn't even subdued by the enticements of his gevirta, of his mistress. So he was just the opposite. So there were forces working against each other. So Pinchas, being the descendant of Yosef, would be the one to go to destroy Midian. Because Pinchas had the keach, the power of Yosef, which was the hepech, which was the contrary of Midian. So that's why, a second reason why Pinchas was sent. But now there's a stronger kasha. We asked, why did he send Pinchas? Why didn't he send his father Elozer? There's a stronger question. Why didn't Moshe go? Firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, states, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemon, nekom nikas b'nei Yisrael." He told Moshe, go and take nekoma, go and take revenge. Secondly, Moshe always went in front. When it came to Og Melech HaBoshan, it states Moshe went and killed Og. When it came to Sichon, the king of Amori, it was Moshe that went. And even when in Parshas Pinchas, when Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, choose a successor for me. So he says, Asher Yetzei Lifneihem. He says, not like Malkei HaUmos, the kings of the nations of the world, that they sit in their palaces and send their boys out to war, but like I, that went in front of the people. That has to be a successor like that. So Moshe was always in the front of the battle. So why didn't Moshe go? And that, the Yalkut states in Matis, in this parsha, Lamed Aleph Os Aleph, which is right after Os Kuf Tes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to go. And here we see he sends Pinchas. Ela al yedei shenizgadl b'midyon, Omar eino b'din shani meitzar l'mi she'osa li tova. Moshe said like this. He says, it's not right if I go, because no matter how wicked Midian is, but they were good to me. They became an aksanya. They became a home for me. When Moshe, Pare wanted Moshe's life, because he had killed the Egyptian. And Moshe fled, and he needed a refuge. And he found this refuge in Midian. That was the home of Yisro. So he said, Midian, that was my refuge. There I found protection. How can I go and annihilate them? And the Midrash says, that's what people say, Be'er sheshosish bimenu ma'im al tizreik b'evan. A well that you drink water from, do not throw stones into it. So therefore, Moshe sent Pinchas. But there's a kasha here. Because we find this similar principle by the Eser Makos, by the plagues. The first three plagues, Aaron executed them. Also for similar reasons. Because the first couple of plagues was against the water or against the earth, the sand, and these had protected Moshe. But there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said explicitly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Daber el Aaron, tell Aaron to strike the water, tell Aaron to strike the earth. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go and take revenge. Was Moshe trying to become more greater Chochem than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So on this, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitzichain the Baruch Hu, he answers, not here but in another place, in one of his sichos, I don't think it's here, he answers as follows. He says, the mitzvahs of Hashem have to be fulfilled, but they cannot be fulfilled in a way where they transgress their heretz or amida tova. That's impossible, because the mitzvahs of Hashem come to enhance the midas tovos, to add to the midas tovos, to add to derech eretz, to enhance derech eretz, not to annul it or destroy it. And actually, that's the explanation is very good according to the Maral, because the Maral always says that the derech eretz is the chokhmas hatachteinu. Derech eretz is the wisdom of this world. Torah is the chokhmas ha'elyona, is the wisdom of the higher worlds, which is built on top of the wisdom of this world. So you can't have the Torah erode the very foundation. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go and take revenge, Moshe understood that revenge had to be taken, but al yidei acher, through another person, not through him. See? He understood that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, because it couldn't mean that he should take revenge, because there could be no greater breach of derech eretz in such a situation. So therefore, the mitzvah was to take revenge, but in a way where there wouldn't be this breach. Therefore he sent Pinchas. What would be the breach of derech eretz here? It would be the breach, and that's what the Yalkut brings. The Yalkut brings, it would be the breach of a lev of Eino Mishalim. The from the greatest evil that a person can come to is what is known as a lev of Eino Mishalim. You borrow, you don't repay. Why? Because if you don't do chesed to a person, alright, you didn't do chesed, you lack chesed, which is a terrible thing. But if you borrow and you don't repay, there you're mishalim ro tachas tova. It's not that you're not giving, doing goodness to someone, but you're doing evil to someone who did good to you. And mishalim ro tachas tova is the worst level possible. Even if you would steal from someone, that's a mishalim ro. Then you do evil to a person. But to steal from someone that did good to you, like a lev aveinu mishalim, like you borrow and you don't repay, they can't be worse than that. That's not a mishalim ro, that's a mishalim ro tachas tova. That's not someone that doesn't do chesed, but that's someone who does ro that did chesed to you. And actually, in the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Dalet, The Mishnah brings Chamisha Talmidim Hoyu L'Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had five great Talmidim. And he asked his Talmidim, say, Tzu'uru, go out and tell me what is the greatest quality a person can have. They all came back and told him. Then he said, go out and tell me what is the worst quality a person can have. So his Talmud Reb Shimon said, Leva Rosha V'lo Yishalim. He brings the posuk, Aleva Veinam Yishalim, Leva Rosha Lo Yishalim, V'tzadi Chedin V'Nesen. A tzadik is someone who does chesed, even though the other person is not deserving of chesed. That's the other end of the pole. But someone who is deserving of chesed, because he did good to you, and you Mishalim Ra, that's the other extreme. He said there can be nothing worse. So this is the total antithesis of chesed. If chesed is the greatest meat in the person, the total antithesis is the leiv v'ena mishalim, someone who's mishalim ro tachas tova. Mele was very good. Moshe said, Midian should be destroyed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah couldn't be that I should destroy it. Because the Torah is a Torah's chesed. All right, there has to be mishpat also. But I should be mishalim ro tachas tova. That's impossible in the structure of the mitzvah. Therefore, he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant al yedei acher, through someone else. Therefore, he sent Pinchas. This is the answer that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz gives on this. Now, go to one final point, and that is this war. Klal Yisrael fought many wars, and unfortunately, they had war after war. But this war is really different than either all of the other wars or most of the other wars. Because the other wars were wars for Yerusha Sa'oritz, to inherit and to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Nations stood in their way, or self-defense, nations came to attack them, or to conquer the seven nations of Canaanim and Eretz Yisrael. Or even if there were wars of Biata Romi Kebecho, to destroy nations that weren't filled the word of Hashem. But this was a different war. This was a war of Nekoma, of revenge. That's why the Torah explicitly states, go, Nekom. It says, go, Nekom, Nikmas b'nei Yisrael. And then later on it states, no says, Nikmas Hashem b'midyon. Go and take revenge. This was not a question of conquering Eretz Yisrael. This was not their asik to go and teach them how to be good. This was not self-defense. They were, now Midian wasn't bothering them. So they could have hocholem, they could have left finished. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, don't be hocholem. No, no. I want revenge. Go and revenge what they did. Now, we could ask, but revenge is a midorah. It's a bad quality revenge. We're not even allowed to take revenge. So how is this possible? Second question we can ask, this was a din kosher mi'od. Kodesh Baruch Hu really showed his wrath against these people. Like we mentioned, this was a total annihilation where all of the males, adults and children, were annihilated. All of the females were annihilated, except those that were 3 years old. All of the possessions were taken. The ones that lived, they were taken as slaves. All of their cities were burnt. Why such a din kosher? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take such a judgment against them? Now, in regards to the first question, we said that nekoma is a midorah, is a very bad quality. The fact is, it's a negative, leisas, it's a negative commandment in the Torah. We're not allowed to. The Torah states, leisikaim and leisitor. The Rambam brings this at the end of Hilchos Deos. He says, He says, I make him a chaveray, eva beleisase. Someone who takes revenge against his friend transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, leisikhaim. And even though there's no corporal punishment for this, but it's a very, very bad quality for a Jew to have revenge. Person should be forgiven. He should say, forget about it. And the chachomim, those who are wise, they realize that in this world it's not worth carrying grudges. Many people carry grudges forever. You meet people and they could be 40, 50 years later, they're still carrying a grudge. They don't realize that they want to get even with the other person. They don't realize that he's getting even with them, because the grudge is killing him more than the other fella. See? He's carrying that baggage for 40, 50 years. He says, the Chachomim, the Mevinim, understand that this world is not worth carrying grudges over. She says, Ketzad hi anakima? What is the example of revenge? Omele chaveira hashileni kadumcha. Reuben comes to Shimon and he says, let me borrow your shovel. So Shimon says, eni mashilecha, I'm not going to lend it to you. For this and this reason. Moch, the next day, Shimon comes to Reuben and says, lend me your shovel. He says, when I needed it, you didn't lend me, so therefore I won't lend you. That's the kima. But what you should do is that when he comes to borrow, you should give it to him with a full heart and forget about what happened before. And then you'll be a good Jew. That's nekima. Then there's netira, leisitor. What's netira? Whoever is neter transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, leisitor. Reuben says to Shimon, let me rent your house, or lend me your ox. And Shimon says, no. A month later, Shimon comes to Reuben, and he says, let me rent your house, or lend me your ox. So Reuben doesn't say no. Reuben says, yes, I'll give you my house. I'll give you my ox. He says, you see, I'm not like you. When I needed it, you didn't do it. I'm not like you. I'll give it to you. What's wrong with that? He transgresses a negative commandment. That's leisitor. You see how much the Torah demands from a Jew. Ha'isik is there. If you do that, eva b'leisitor, you transgress a negative commandment. But you have to totally erase that grudge from your heart where it's not even existing anymore. Even though it's only Dvorin Shemalev. You have to erase it from your heart where you say, yes, you want to borrow an ox with pleasure. And forget about the fact that when you needed his ox, he wouldn't lend it to you. She calls Manchu Neter Esadove Vezechre Shemayovali Linkaim. Because the source of the revenge is still there. What's the source of the revenge? When you have a grudge. So the Torah says it's not enough to have a grudge and not take revenge. I don't want you to have the grudge. Because as long as the grudge is there, it's still poison in your heart and it could come out. The Torah demanded not only you shouldn't take action, but you shouldn't even have the grudge left in your heart, and not even remember it. And this is the way people should conduct themselves, and then you can have a peaceful world. Yeah, we live in such a world. But unfortunately, we see the tremendous standard, but incidentally, this is what kills people and makes them sick at young ages, because they carry poison in their heart. They carry hatred in their heart, and they don't realize that they're taking revenge against themselves, not against the other guy. But at any rate, we see it's a Mina Rabbi Yod. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says, Klal Yisrael wasn't interested in fighting against him. He says, go, take revenge, you know. Now, the answer to this is many, many answers. Many answers. First thing is where the Torah is speaking, Leisitor, Leisikaim, that you shouldn't take revenge, Nekima Natira, and that's where the Rambam is speaking. That's where someone is mazik you, someone harms you, or someone doesn't do you a favor, in dine momenus, or it has to do with monetary things. I want to borrow something from you, and you won't lend it to me. Or I once gave you something, and now when I needed it, you didn't give it to me. This is monetary things. And reshus la'odam limchol. When it comes to your possessions, your monetary possessions, you have permission, all of the permission in the world, to waive your claims. Momen nitan lemechila, the Gemara says. If I own something, you have no right whatsoever to take it from me. You have no right to infringe on my ownerships. But I have a right to waive my ownership. In other words, you can't go and take something that's mine, but I can give it to you. So therefore, if you came and you took something of mine, I have a right to claim it back, but I also have the right to say, let's forget about it. Keep it. See? So there you have every right to waive. And there the Torah said, you don't have to waive your money, but if someone wronged you in one way that has to do with that, don't carry the grudge. Be maver al midesav, like the Rambam says. Forget about it, waive it. Be meichel. And then a person has a right to. If a person does something to you which is tzara nefesh, let's say, he harms you emotionally. For example, he knows dvorim, insults you, or he says loshon hara on you. That's more difficult to forget and to waive. Fact is, on that, the Gemara says that if you do waive it, you're from the Hasidim. You're from the very, very righteous. That's what it says. Ane alovim, ve'enan olvim. Who are the very righteous people? Those people that listen to insults and they do not return the insults. So there also you have a right. You have every right in the world. Look, you don't have to tolerate insults for other people. But if you want to forget about it, you have every right to. But here, firstly, we're talking about nefoshes. Talking about lives. 24,000 Jews were killed. And where do we see you have a right to waive a life? There's no place in the Torah where the Torah gave you a right to say, let's forget about it, on a loss of life. Bilam and Balak and Midian and Moab were reitzchim, they were murderers. And the Gemara says that if you ma'aved nefesh achas mi Yisrael, ki ilu ma'aved kol eilam kula. You kill one person, it's as if you kill an entire world. They killed 24,000 people, and they would have killed more if it had not been for Pinchas. Where in the Torah does this Torah say you have a right to waive a life? And to the contrary, Kodesh Baruch Hu said very clearly that someone that kills, he killed the Tzelem Elohim, the image of Hashem. He has to be put to death. And this is an obligation which we have no permission whatsoever was granted to close your eyes to. And to the contrary, we see the Torah goes to all extremes. If there's a Beis Din, if you convict him in the court, the Beis Din has every obligation in the world to execute the judgment. Fact is, if not, they're Rishoyim, they're wicked. If the Beis Din cannot execute the judgment, we find the Din of Golus, where the person has to go to the cities, to Ori Miklot, cities of refuge. We find the Din of Gael Adam, where if someone killed and you, for various reasons, you can't put him to death, under certain situations, it's a mitzvah to take his life by the relatives. So, where does it say there? Laisita v'laisikaim. But further yet, further. And this is something, unfortunately, people don't understand. Wherever the Torah said that it's a mitzvah to forgive, that it's a mitzvah to forgive on something, on a wrong that was done to you. But how can you forgive on a wrong that was done to someone else? You're a balabos to forgive on a wrong that was done to someone else. Sometimes you read in the paper, and I can't understand the foolishness, the lack of rationale on this. You read that a person was killed, and the family comes along and says, "We forgive him." Who are you to forgive him? You were killed. If anybody's going to forgive, he's going to have to forgive. You forgive the murderer because he killed your brother. What about your brother? Is he forgiving? That's like I'm saying that, look, this Ganef went and he hijacked your car. I forgive him. It's worse. I forgive him for hijacking your car. This you hear all of the time. We forgive him. There cannot be a greater distortion, corruption, prostitution of justice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'olem Omeid, the world rests on three pillars, and one is the pillar of justice. From one end they shout justice, and from the other end they say, we forgive him. Here there were 24,000 B'nai Yisrael that were killed. And they're not forgiving anyone. That means that the justice, the deen has to be fulfilled. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't close your eyes from that. I give you the excuse, otherwise I'll do it. Nekom nikmas Hashem. But then there's a further reason. There's a further reason, and this further reason will answer why there was such a din kosher, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so strong. It states, the question is asked, and Rashi brings it, that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in Pasuk Beis, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'es ha-midyonim. Take the revenge of Yisrael from the Midyonim. Then in Pasuk Gimel it states, Loseis nikmas Hashem b'midyon. Take the revenge of Hashem from Midyon. So whose revenge are we talking about? The revenge of Bnei Yisrael or the revenge of Hashem? So the Chazal say, it's Chod Milz, it's one thing. When you strike out against Yisrael, you're striking out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Klal Yisrael are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Because there's Yisrael, there's Hashem in the world. The Shekhin in the world. What nation says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad proclaims that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator and the master of the universe twice every day without exception? The Chinese, the Indians, the Russians. Who? Where? It's Yisrael. If there's no Yisrael, there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoever stands up against Yisrael is standing up against me. Therefore he said, take the revenge of Israel and take my revenge against them. Now they went even further. They started to threaten Israel with physical annihilation. Balak said, I have to destroy this nation. So he went to Bilam. And Bilam said, all right, we'll curse them, and then you can destroy them. So they were interested in physical annihilation. But in the end, they threatened their spiritual annihilation. Because he said, we cannot destroy them physically, but we can lead them away from Klal Yisrael. And once we do that, then you can destroy them. This would have been the spiritual destruction of Klal Yisrael, to lead them away from Hashem. And this is why it's brought in Parshas Ki Tzetze. The Chazal ask a question. It says that on Moav, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't annihilate them, but he said that never will they be allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Lo yove amoni umoavi bekal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yove lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. Never will they be able to marry into the Klal Yisrael. Then when it comes to Edom, so he says, it states there, Edom, Achichohu, that's Esav, he's your brother. Dor Shlishi Yovel, after three generations of conversion, they can marry into the central community. He said, Mitzrayim, Egypt, Dor Shlishi, after third generation, they can marry in. Why? Because Gero Yisa Ba'artso, because they took you in when you needed a place when Yaakov came down, so they took you in and gave you Goshen, a nice home in Mitzrayim. But Mitzrayim, Egypt went and enslaved you and threw your children into the river, and they did all kind of cruel things to you. And Esav was the most cruelest. Who is more cruel than Esav? Esav is the Roman Empire. Why so light on them and so heavy on Edom? Excuse me, on Moav. So Rashi brings, Afal Pisha Zorko Zichreim Liyor. He says, Olamarato Shamachti Lo Odom Koshalei Mina Horgai. When you try to lead Klal Yisrael away from Avinu Shebishamayim, their Father in Heaven, that's worse than killing them. Shal Horgai Hege Ba'il Mazeh. Because Esav in Egypt, they try to eliminate Israel from this world, but they would have still had the next world. The fact is, all of those that they did kill, but they had the next world. Amachtiyai. But here, Moav and Midian were trying to lead Klal Yisrael away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he be meitzi min ha'olam hazeh u'min ha'olam haba. He would have caused them to lose both worlds. Lefichach, therefore, forever they weren't allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. So therefore, this answers both questions. For many, many reasons. Where nekoma, revenge, is a bad quality when it relates to you personally, something that was done against you, a wrong that was done against you, that you could forgive. So the Torah says you're obligated to forgive it and not to carry sina shebalev, a hatred in your heart, not to react against it and not even to carry a hatred in your heart against it. Forget about it and forgive it. That was a wrong that was done against you. And especially, I mean, where the person is doing tshuva. See? The person doesn't do tshuva, but he keeps doing the wrong, that's a different story. But when it comes to taking a life of a person, and especially there, they never even did tshuva. There, to the contrary, the Torah says it's the greatest evil not to revenge it. It has to be revenged. Either in the best, you know, either through other ways. Must be revenged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will revenge it. And certainly, if a wrong is done to someone else, so who are you to forgive it? He has to forgive it. And certainly in this case, where the wrong that was done is that they try to lead HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation astray from him. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, eliminate them. Be'arto aromikin mecho. this evil has to be removed. And therefore he said, Mekayim Nikmas Hashem and Nikmas Yisrael. He will not rest until this revenge is taken. From here we can apply it to many, many cases and many, many cases and scenarios that have taken place throughout history, especially against Klal Yisrael. So this is a number of insights that we see in this sefer and this parasha. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.